Let us pray. Eternal Father, my Lord and my God, I give you all the glory this morning. I appreciate you for who you are this afternoon. I thank you, Father, for your presence, O God, in our midst. You say where two or three are gathering, there it is where you are. And therefore, I acknowledge you, God Almighty. I appreciate you because you are the creator of the heaven and earth. You are the ancient world. You are ever true, God. Father, the entrance of your words give light, O God, unto the simple. Father, give us an understanding, O God, to your word. Both the speaker and the hearer will be blessed, God. Father, when you're done, O God, please take all the glory. I'm just your vessel, God. Just use my vocal cord, O God. Holy Spirit of God, I trust my life into your hands, O God, that you have your preeminence. Do what only you can do, O God. And let all the glory be unto you, because you are the creator of the whole heaven and earth. Be thou exalted, O God, in Jesus' name, as we are learning to know you more and learning to be who you want us to be always. Be thou exalted, Holy Spirit. Over to you, Lord. Over to you. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. In the name of Jesus, just give me utterance. In the name of Jesus, I appreciate you. Thank you for everything, O God. In Jesus' powerful name, I have prayed. Amen and amen. Thank you, sir. Once again, I appreciate you. Good morning, good afternoon to we that are in the afternoon section. I appreciate everyone that are here. God bless your hearts. And I was just wondering what you actually talked about. What came to my mind, what the inspiration I have is about the Word of God. The Word of God. Wow. Awesome. So I'm going to start from the book of Gospel according to John. And I'm going to start from chapter number 1, verse 1 to 5 and 7 to 14. Gospel according to St. John. We're talking about the Word of God, the living Word of God, the logo and the spoken Word, the Word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit, again for your word. John chapter number 1 and verse 1. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And in verse 7, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. It was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and the Word dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. That is the Word of God. We have seen, we have read the Word of God. The Word of God, the living Word. The Word of God is the Father's spoken word to us. The Word of God should never be taken as a message in an ordinary book. And I'm going to read Jeremiah 15:16. Jeremiah chapter number 15 and in verse 16. He said, I have found your word. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. The word of God must be found. We have a duty to find, to search the scripture, to find this word. When we now find the word, we must be able to esteem this word more than every necessity, every food of our mouth. Job said it. Job confirmed that. Job 23 and in verse 12, Job declared that he himself actually found that same word. But when he found it, he didn't take it lightly. He took it. He said, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than the necessary food. Job actually esteemed. It was a spoken word to him then. We have a written word now. The Old Testament had a spoken word. God would inspire them. He would speak to them. And Job, in his own way, he said he esteemed the words of the Lord's mouth more than his necessary food. And that's actually what we too need to learn, because the Bible says the things that are written, they are for our examples. They are the things that we need to learn from. How did they do? How are the people of old? How were they able to handle their journey? How did they walk this path that we are walking now? Bible said Job esteemed the words of the mouth of God more than his necessary food. The word of God shall be so real to us as though the master stood in the room and spoke to us personally. Sometimes because it is a written word, we tend to think that, well, I've just opened the pages. That's just like a word I'm reading, like you are reading a book. No, we should be able to make the word of God to be so real to us as though God is speaking to us mouth to mouth, as he spoke with Moses, as he spoke with the people of old. He spoke with most of the prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. The Lord spoke with them. This is what you should do. And they held on to it as a spoken word. But in our own time now, we have it written in the pages of the Bible. And sometimes we do not take notice to say, to appreciate it as though God is speaking. But what we are saying today is that we need to have a change of attitude to the word of God. Our attitude towards the word of God we must change it. From reading it as any other book, to we mastering it as though the Lord Jesus Christ is standing before me face to face, is standing before you face to face, and is personally speaking with you. If a man love me, he said, John 14, 24, 23 to 24, he said, if a man loved me, this man will keep my commandments. And we know that his commandments are not grievous. His words are true. His word is real. John 14 and in verse 23 said, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So the word of God, the Lord is saying, the emphasis is actually in that verse 23. If a man love me, he will keep my words. The word of God that he speak with us, they are spirit and they are life. They are not ordinary. They're not a mere word. They are words, though we are reading it as a letter, like a letter, but the Bible says the letter killeth. It is the Spirit of God that giveth life into that word. So when we read it, we will prayerfully start, when we want to read the word of God, we'll sit down and pray. that the covering cast, the veil, will be removed out of our eyes, that we will see it. Literally, the way God has said it, as He is speaking with us mouth to mouth. God's word is impregnated with the life of God. So there is life in that word. And that will take me to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews 4 rather, and in 12 and 13. Hebrews 4, and in chapter 4, verse 12. He said, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Okay, while I was doing this, I actually went to compare some other verses, as in other version of this word, because I wanted to understand it. Of course, I do quote it, but I was like, what does it really mean though? So I went to TPT, the Passion Translation, and it was saying, it was particularly verse 13, it said, there's not one person who can hide their thoughts from God, for nothing that we do remains a secret, and nothing created is concealed, but everything is exposed and defenseless before his eyes, to whom we must render an account. And I now realize that the word of God actually is a person, right? It is word of God personified, and that is the person of Jesus. Well, when I looked at this, I didn't realize that the word of God actually have an eyes. So then he's a person. He has an eye to see. He said, there was nothing hidden. Nothing whatsoever is hidden from him to whom we have to do. So the word is so, so powerful. It's quick and powerful. And he pierced through everything. He sees, he's a person. That is a person of Jesus Christ. The word of God is real. It is not only, it's not letter. There's anything we have to take home from this gathering is that let us have a mindset. Let's have a paradigm shift from taking the word as a letter to understanding him as a person that is speaking with us face to face. Like you will speak with your spouse, like you will speak with your children. You're talking with them. You're saying, okay, this is what you should do. Okay, this is what we're going to do. And you are hearing your spouse talking with you. So that is actually what it is now. Our own decision must be changed to we're knowing that when we pick up our Bible to read, it is not a letter. It is God himself speaking with us. And then we continue to walk in that reality, in that consciousness of his word, that God is speaking with me. That when you read Genesis or whatever chapter of the Bible, whatever it is that God said there is literally speaking with you at that moment. So he's saying that word is powerful. The word of God is powerful. Is quick. Is powerful. It's not an ordinary word. It is not Shakespeare word or any other novel's word. It is the word of the eternal creator himself, the God that made heaven and earth. And you know that he created everything by the word of his mouth. This earth is still holding together today because of his word that is spoken into existence and created those things and they're still standing. If it's not the word of God, this earth itself would have collapsed. But the word of God is still holding it together. That's how powerful those words that he spoke at that time, even during creation, is still standing till today. So the word of God is so powerful. The word of God is something that we must try, we must understand that it is not a letter. More than the letter is here, it is the word of the eternal creator. The one who said in the beginning was the word. The word said in the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. And he created the heaven, he created the earth, he made everything by the word of his mouth. And this word sees, this word penetrates through the bones and marrows of us. This word reveals the intention of your heart. It reveals the intention of my heart. This word does more than what, you know, some things you don't even speak. What is thought? Thought is an unspoken word. You have it in your heart and it's there and nobody knows what you are thinking about. But when you speak it, it then becomes word. So, but the word of God knows my thoughts, your thoughts, even though you don't speak it out, is so powerful and it's so quick. It does things so fast and it's a two-edged sword. It's not a dagger and it's not a machete that has only one side to it. It's two-edged sword. In other words, it can cut across it from this side and it can cut from the other side. So it shapes us. It kind of molds us to what it is it wants us to be. Because it is in the word of God that we'll discover what to do and what not to do. It is actually the will of God for us. He exposes the mind of God for us. He reveals what the Almighty God has in stock. So the word of God has eyes to see our conduct, everything that we do, our thoughts, our attitude towards him. The word of God is a living thing, is a living person, is a person, it's a living, is alive, is God Almighty himself. But in the pages of the Bible, I mean, it's so amazing, so wonderful that the Almighty God will reveal his heart to us. And how do we know it? It is through the word of the that is written in the Bible. He knows everything. He sees everything. He sees our intentions. That is what the word of God is. The word of God judges me. He judges your heart. He judges what you do. It says to us, do not do this. Do not steal. Walk with your hands. It just guides us. That is what the word of God is. The word of God feeds our inner man. And like he said to us, that man shall not live by bread alone. Matthew 4:4. And Luke 4:4 again. Matthew 4:4 said, when the Lord Jesus Christ was being tempted, and in verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So it feeds us. The word of God feeds our inner man. We eat physical food, rice, beans, yam, and what have you, to nourish our physical body. And we are healthy. We thank God for that. But our spirits cannot eat rice and beans. Our spirit feeds on the word. It is the word of God that feeds our spirit, our inner man. And that's why he said to us, that we should not live by bread and tea and rice alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. That is what feed our spirit. And that's when we can stand. That's why we are not perturbed with the challenges of life. That's when we're able to stand. That's when we are able to be encouraged. That's why we're able to press in and continue to run the race that is set before us, because our inner man is being strengthened, is strong. But if we are not feeding our inner man with the word, that would be marasmus, kwashoko, that would be anemic. That spirit will be so, so lame and unhealthy. But one can be fat physically, but the inner man is so, so unhealthy. And every wind of doctrine, anything that passes, just wave the person away. Because there are storms in life, generally. It said, build not your house on a shaky ground. We have to build it on a rock. So when the storms of life, when the storm waves, when there's a storm, we will be able to stand the test of time. We will be able to stand above those storms, because our inner man is being strengthened, is healthy, is eating the word, is being fed, and is strong. So the word of God feeds. The word of God feed our spirit. And the word of God build love in our heart. It build love in our heart. We, of ourselves, we can't love anyone. The Lord taught us how to love himself. It's the embodiment of love. God is love himself. So we don't know how to love. But the word of God teaches us how to love. He feeds us and in love through us. So God's only way of reaching to us is through his word. How else then do you want us to commune with us? The only way to commune with we human beings is his word. So that is the communication of our faith. I would say, let it communicate Philemon 6. There's only one chapter, isn't it? Yeah. Let the communication of our faith, let it be effectual by the acknowledging of the thing that is inside of us. Let me read it now. That the communication of our faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. The word of God is inside of us. When we eat that word, when we feed our spirit with the word of God, then we'll be able to communicate it. We'll be able to acknowledge it and then communicate it, that this is it. This is what the word says. And everything answers to that word. Because in Genesis 3, in Genesis chapter 1 rather, the word was created by his word. He spoke the word, let there be. So everything that we see is made from the word of God. So the only way that God reaches out to you and me is by his word. And so we must love this Lord. We must love this word. We must love the word, because we should have that hunger in us to wanting to hear God speak with us. Now that we know that it's not a letter, it is a spoken, though a written, but it is a spoken word as well. In the Old Testament, it was a spoken word, but now it is written. But we should not take it as per letter. We should take it as though God is speaking with us mouth to mouth. First Thessalonians 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as a word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, with which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So when Paul was actually saying that, he was giving glory to God. And he said that when the people in the Thessalonians received the word, they heard it, but they received it not as a mere word, not as a word of Paul. They received it as the word of the Almighty God, which was effectual, which worketh effectual in all of them that believe. So the word of God is what we should receive. We should receive the word of God as not as like the word of man that, oh, Pastor Yado is the one speaking. No, it's the word of Pastor Yado or it's the word of teacher. Like, no, it is not my word, it's not his word. It is the word of God. We should receive it as though God himself is speaking it to us. Because it is in then that it will work effectual in us. According to Acts 19:20, Bible say that spoken word, it so grew and it prevailed. The word of God grew in the land of Ephesus, in the city of Ephesus. It grew, and not only that, it then prevailed. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. And when the word of God prevail in our hearts, it will do wonders. When we take it as the word of the Almighty God and we internalize this word in our heart, and then we speak it, echo it back, because we can't reinvent the wheel. He has already given the word. So our own is just to keep saying that same word that has been given unto us. And when that is mightily, when it's being spoken, it will grow and it will prevail over situation, over circumstances, because it was same that word that God used to create heaven and earth. So because everything answers to that name, everything was created by that name, everything was created with the word, and everything would not answer to that word that created it. And by the time we too are now declaring those words, of a sure, it must come to pass. Because it is the word of God. The word of God is living. The word of God is the Father speaking to us face to face. The word of God is powerful. We have seen that. I'm going to read Psalm 107 and in verse 20. Because we are talking about the word of God, it's like we are reading the whole Bible, actually, because it is the word. It is the word of God. Of course, not everything is being written, not everything in the Bible are as the word of God in terms of everything being said. But what I'm saying is this Bible contains the word of man as well. There's the word of God and the word of man. Some parts, it was man that is speaking. It was some area, you will see that it is the God Almighty speaking. The source says the Lord. You know, and when during the gospel, you see the word of Jesus Christ, the gospel according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus spoke. And in the Ephesians, the epistles, the Spirit of God spoke through holy men of God. And they were being inspired and they spoke those words. Right? So the word of God is powerful. We have said that. It's nothing to be taken for granted. It's nothing to undermine. It is the word of eternal King himself, the Lord God Almighty, and we should believe it in our heart. Believe the word of God in your heart as though is God speaking with you face to face. Psalm 107 and in verse 20 said, he sent his word and healed them and deliver them from their destructions. The word of God was sent, and that word did not remain. It went straight to do that which it was meant to do. So inheriting that word is the power of God that is backing it up. So when God says, when the Bible, when we're reading about the word of God regarding healing, the healing power is in that word. So when we say you are healed in Jesus' name, that word goes and does what it's meant to do. The word of God becomes a living thing, a voice. It is the voice of God to us today. That's what I say. And the word was as a spoken word to them. But it's now. The word is now. The word is now. The word is being spoken as if it is just written today to you and me. So the word was, and which was, and is to come, is he now. So that word is being, is the voice of God to us today. And when we read it tomorrow again, it will be the voice of God to us tomorrow. So the word of God is the mind of the Father to us. The word of God is the will of the Father. The word of God shows the way to the Father. We did not know how to go, how to navigate in this world. But he said, he is himself is the way, the truth, and the life. So he shows us the way, the pattern that we should follow. The word of God is the bread of heaven. Bread that we eat, our daily bread. Without food, we can't survive for too long. So it's that bread that we eat, the bread that came down from heaven. The word of God is the food to our spirit. I've said that before. And we become Christ-like with the measure of the word of God that prevails in us. I'm going to say that again. They call the Christians, they call the follower of Jesus Christ, they call them Christian in Antioch because they saw their way of life and they said, oh, these ones are like Christ. They're Christ-like. And that was how they coined that word Christian. Even Jesus Christ himself did not call us Christian. They're just the way. It was the way. This is the way. This is people that follow the way. Right. But the people saw their way of life. They saw the way they comport themselves, the way they conducted themselves, the way they speak, the way they behave. They say, oh, these people, they are like Christ. They are like this Christ. So they came up. They came up with their name being Christian, and we are happy to be Christian because we are followers of Jesus. We are like him. So the word of God. So the more we allow the word of God, we become Christ like with the measure of the word of God that we internalize, that prevail in us. The more of the word of God that we store in our heart, and we act it out, because it's not the hearer alone that is going to be blessed, but the doer of the word of God. So it is the more of the word of God that we do, that will make people to know that indeed we are Christ-like. So the word of God is Christ revealed. If you want to know how God does his things, go read the gospel. Jesus Christ, what did he do? Wake up in the early in the morning, go to the solitary place. He prayed before even he started mixing with people, before people start thronging on him and coming on to him. See, how does he respond to people's behavior? Some will come and ask him questions, intentionally to kind of just wanting to corner him, to put him in a corner or straight jacket. How did he respond to those accusations? It was called different names, strange names. You are Beelzebub. You are using the spirit of Beelzebub. How did he react to those false allegations? He wasn't. He's the creator of the whole universe who came in the form of a man. And yet he was being called all sorts of names. Yet, he was like a dumb before the shearer. Even when they brought him before the palace, imagine they brought a creator before the creation, and the creation was saying to him, you don't have the power to release you, you know. Because he didn't know who he was talking to. So, but how did the Lord himself, how did he respond to all this? So these are his ways, his pattern, the way he does his thing. He, the creator of God, the creator of the heaven and earth, came as the Son of Man so that we can become the sons of God and see how the sons of God should do. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for the Lord was with him. So he had shown us the pattern of what we should do, before to follow his footsteps day by day. So he is the Word of God. So the more of the Word of God that we internalize, the more of the Word of God that we do, the more we follow the Word and do the Word, the more we exhibit the nature of the Lord, the more they will say, yeah, these people, they are not like that one. They are the city that cannot be hid. They are the lights, the shining forth. They are the salt that preserve the earth. They will see our good work and they will glorify our Father, which is in heaven. So the more of the Word of God that we take in into us, the more our life is changing. So he said that the Word of God will have a free course in us unhindered. The Word of God will do what and transform us. And Daniel always quote that scripture. He said, as we behold him, we are being changed to the image of the Word that we behold. As we behold, from glory to glory is changing us. We always sing that song. From glory to glory is changing me. Is changing me. Is changing me. From glory to glory is changing me. Is changing, changing me. Is changing me. Is changing me. Into your glory eternally. Into the glory of God and Son is changing, changing me. So the Word of God has the ability to change us, to transform us, renew us. The Word of God has the ability to change our ways. And the Word of God to sanctify us. The Word of God is able to sanctify us and change us. It said, we that are sanctified and we that have been sanctified, we are all of one. Hebrews chapter number 2, verse 11. Hebrews 2:11. His word, he said, you are cleansed by the word that I speak unto you. Let me go to Hebrew 2:11. The Word of God is powerful. It changes. It cleanses. It sanctifies. It separates us unto Himself. That is the power that is in the Word of God. It's so powerful. 2:11 says, for both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call us his brethren. He was not ashamed to call us his brethren. He is sanctified. He's a sanctifier. And we have been sanctified by the word. He said, ye are cleansed by the word that I speak unto you. So the word of God cleanses. The word of God is so powerful that it is the word of God that saved us, by the way. It saved us. And he made us as if we have never, ever, ever, ever sinned. He has justified us with his word. So the penalty of sin has been dealt with as long as we have accepted him as our Lord, as our Savior. And then there's an ongoing work of sanctification. The ongoing cleansing of the word of God. As we read it on a daily basis, we are being cleansed. We will wash our heart, purge us, cleanse us. So we are being saved. So the power of sin has no hold over us. As we read the word of God, that word has our power. That sin does not have dominion over us anymore. As we read that word, as we have reading it, the word of God is now cleansing, washing us, so that no power of sin will have hold. And also we are being saved. It's a continuous present tense. Being saved. B-E-I-N-G. We are being saved. It's continuous. And then we shall be saved. By the same word, we shall be saved. When the Lord shall appear in his glory, we shall appear with him. Christ is alive. When he shall appear, we shall appear with him in glory. So when he shall appear, we would be transformed. We'll take away this vile body and take on the glorified body. And then the power of, the presence of sin will be no more. Because we will then be with the Lord wherever he goes. So we thank God. It is that word that is doing this three type of salvation in our lives. We have been saved already. We that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord, that word has cleansed us, has sanctified us. We have been cleansed by the word that has spoken with us. And that means we are justified as if we have not sinned. And now there's an ongoing work of sanctification. And there's a need for us to continually go and have our birth with the word. You can't go out in a sunny day and come back without having a wash. So we need to be cleansed. We get dirty with things around us. Place of work at, you know, marketplace and what have you. But the word cleanses. So there's a continual need for cleansing. You wouldn't say because you had your shower yesterday, you will not have your shower today or tomorrow. Right? So if physically we can do that, so also the word. So also spiritual, I meant to say. So the word of God cleanses. So we need to go to the bathroom and have a wash and get cleansed. So the word of God has the cleansing agent. It's a cleanser. It cleanses our heart. It produces us. And that has to be on a daily basis. And that has to continue. And that has to be a continuous process. We cannot say, I've read the Bible today and I'm not going to. You will continue to read it. Because it is in reading it. That's when we are being cleansed continually. And we are pure. Even as he's pure. And then we know that when he shall appear, we shall be saved. When he shall appear, we too shall appear with him in glory. We'll take away this terrestrial body and put on the body celestial, the glorified body, and be with him. And then we will not see anything. Because our righteous souls are being vexed now with the things around us, with the way people are, you know, the LGBTQ plus, bestialism, and so many things happening in the world today. The globalists, everyone turning their back against God. But God is faithful. His word is true. Let us hold on to the word of God. Let us not look back. We put our hands on the plow. We're not looking back. We're not of them that draw back. Let us not be like Lot's wife. Because the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so it's going to be. You see, what happened in the days of Lot? Part of what is going on now. But there was something significant. Lot's wife looked back. So that is not our own portion. We have hope. Let's hold on to the word of God. Because faithful is he that has promised who also will do it. He's a good God. He's our Father. His word is pure. Let's believe. We have not believed cunningly devised with fables. Titus, let's go there. We have not believed cunning. What we believe is genuine. It is not a fable. It's reality. The reality that the Lord, this is God himself on the pages of the Bible. We did not believe cunning device fable. We have the truth of the word. We do not believe a fable. It's not a fable. It's not fantasy. So 2 Peter 1:16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we're eyewitnesses of his majesty. Hallelujah. Majesty, the majestic king came on this planet earth in the form of a person of Jesus. It was true. There were eyewitnesses. 500 people saw him when he rose from the dead. He appeared to his disciples. He spoke with them. He ate with them. He is not a fable. He is not. It's real. The Lord Jesus Christ is real. And his word is real. So we are not following cunning device fables. It's not a fable. It's not fantasy. It is reality. Jesus is alive. The word of God is true. We are holding on to what is tangible. It is the tangibility of the word of God. He is the Lord. That's a person, the logo and the spoken word, the person of Jesus Christ, and then the word of God himself. So he's real. He's a loving father, and his word is real. He made everything by the word of his mouth. So that is the word. That is the reality of the word. Like Job said, that what we read, he esteemed the word of God more than the food. He had a spoken word in his own time, but yet he was able to esteem the spoken word. And we now have a written word in our heart, and we too must be able to esteem this written word in our hearts and continue to declare it every which way. The word of God become reality to us when we sanctify the Lord in our heart. Isaiah 8 and verse 13. When we sanctify the word of God. You remember the story of of Saul. He couldn't wait for Samuel to come and make a sacrifice and offering. He's just a king. He wasn't the prophet. So he now went to do the work of the prophet, even as a king. He didn't wait. He didn't sanctify God in his heart. So we must sanctify God in our heart. Isaiah 8:13, we must reference that word as though he has spoken to us face to face. We must reference the word of God. We have a new disposition to the word of God. Of course, we read it, but what is our attitude to the word? That is what it is we're saying. What is our attitude? Let's change our attitude to seeing the word of God, though it's written, but seeing it as though God is speaking. When you are reading it, you are speaking, God is saying, love me, love my word. He's speaking to us as though he sees us face to face, and he's asking us to do what it is he wants us to do. Say, like, for instance, when Jesus Christ was when he was finishing his ministration and he was like about to be crucified, he spoke Matthew 28. But let me read Isaiah 8:13. For sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. So it is important for us to sanctify the Lord. How do we sanctify the Lord? It is his word. If we need to reference that word, revere that word, take it as our priority, that this word stands above everything all, stands above them all. The word of God is the ultimate, is the final. It has a final authority over situation, and not the way I feel or the way you feel, or let us not be saying that, oh, this letter is written to the Corinthians. Oh, I'm not a Corinthian. Oh, it's written to the Galatians. Oh, I'm not a Galatians. No. Because when they receive the word, they receive it not as the word of a man, but it as the word of God. Only men of God, they receive it as the word of God. So now, we too must sanctify the Lord in our hearts. We must sanctify his word, that this word take preeminence. It takes supremacy over every situation, over what I desire, over what my will is, that the word of God supersede them all. The word of God. So Matthew 28:18, that was alluding to before. So Matthew 8, Matthew 28, rather, the last chapter there, and from 19, we're saying, go ye therefore. So like this, when we see this now, we take it for today. God said, go, go ye. So he wasn't only saying it to the apostles of then, but it's in a commandment. And he said it's commandment and not grievous. So he said, go ye therefore. So we should literally see it as though God is telling you and me now, today being the 12th of July, and God is saying to us, today, 12th of July, 2024, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Okay, so what I'm saying is that we should obey this word as though it's being spoken to us today. And when we read it again tomorrow, it's as if it's been speaking to us tomorrow. Also, that tomorrow being today, then tomorrow will be today. By tomorrow, tomorrow will be today. When we get tomorrow, we will say today again, right? Isn't it? So we will continually take the word of God on a daily basis as though he's been speaking to us on that particular day. This must have been written how many years ago, but what God is saying is that we should take his word as though he's been spoken to us today, because his word was. And the word is, and the word is to come. So the word was, he spoke to them, was, it was. But now, to us, the word is now. The word is now for today. The word is saying, go ye therefore now. I said, go ye therefore today, the 12th of July, 2024, and teach all nations. So we need to see the word of God daily as he is speaking it to us on that day. So, he gave us that commandment, and this is the great commission that has committed unto us. And are we doing it? Because the king is coming. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So, it was a command. It was a commandment. So he expects us to go and do these commandments, regardless of what it is, how busy we are. We must be able to distinguish between our job and our work. Our job is the one that put food on our table. Thank God for that. But our work is this. This is our work. This is the work that he has given us, the vocation that he has called us to do for him. This is the vocation he commanded us to do. So he said, go ye therefore, teaching them and to observe all things with whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, behold, I am with you. So he was with them, and he is now with us today, the 7th of July. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So he's with us today to go and do his bidding. So the word of God is good. The word of God is powerful. The word of God is an instruction, is a commandment, and he wants us to take it as so. Romans 10 and then verse 8. He said, but what says it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. The word is nigh thee. The word of God is near us, even in our mouth. So the word of God is in our mouth and in our heart. This word, it is a word of faith. And the Lord expects us to speak it, declare it, use it to change your own world. That was what he did. That was a pattern. He spoke the word to create, let there be. And there is still being. So, the word of God is now near us, is now in our mouth. so that we too can use it to create our world, to create and change the situation, to cause the situation to align with the Word of God. The Word is near us, so we cannot afford to keep silent. He too said it. That was a pattern. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. When the enemy came like a flood to tempt him, he came to tempt the Lord God Almighty. What did he do? How did he overcome? It is written. So we now know that the word is near us, even in our own mouth, and not only in our mouth, in our heart. That is the word of faith. And we do know that it is same. This God is a faith God himself. He himself showed us a pattern. The word of God is God's word express, is faith express. And God himself is a faith God. He always uses his word to do things. That's his pattern. He uses his word to do things. Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 3. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse 3. The word of God is good. The word of God is powerful. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So God is a faith God. He uses word to make things, to do things. So he uses word to create things. Hebrews 6:18 as well. Hebrews 6:18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, because it's not a man, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. The A part of it. By two immutable things, the word of God and the spirit of God. So, by his word, it was impossible for him to lie. Whatever it is that come out of his mouth does not return unto him void. It will accomplish that which he has sent it to do. He sent his word, and the word healed them and delivered them out of their fears, according to Psalm 107 that we read before. So, by these two immutable things, his word and his spirit, it is impossible for him to lie. Those words that has come out of his mouth will not return back. Whatever it is he said it to do, bam, he goes there to do it. Because inherent in that word is the power of God to accomplish that which he has sent it to do. So God is a faith God, and we too have to. The Bible say, Hebrew said, those that come to him must know that he is, and that he's the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So we must know that he is, and that he's the rewarder of we that diligently seek him. Thank God. But we too need to start speaking with, as he is a faith God. We too are faith children to use his word to create our own world. Psalm 33 and in verse 4. This God is such a mighty God that is so great, and his glory to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. No one by the reason of searching can find him out. It's mighty. And his word is mighty and powerful. And his word will not return unto him void. Psalm 33, verse 4 to 6. The word of God is enough for us. It's sufficient unto us. We do not need any other thing. All we needed, he has given us rich. I had to preach a message about it recently. He has given us great and exceeding great promises. Rich, exceeding. I'm going to go there and read it so that I can quote it well. So let me read Psalm 33, verse 4 to 6 first. But he's a faith God. He created everything by the word of his mouth. And he says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgments. The heart is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were all heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Wow, thank you, Lord. He is so great. By the breath of his mouth, he made everything, and everything is still standing still to today. He is the one that seated in the circles of the earth. He is the Almighty that has his word, and nothing can change it. His word is true. So though nothing can change it, it's not an evil word. It's a good word, pure word, loving word, powerful word, exalted word, comforting word. That is the word of God. He said, for the word of God is right. So he doesn't speak wrong things. He does not speak wrong things. He is right. The things that he speaks are things that are comforting, encouraging, uplifting, holding our hands, you know, encouraging us that, children, just ride on, be going, I'm with you. Children, don't fear. Just stay with me here. His word is true. And all, hallelujah, nothing is excluded, all inclusive, all his works are done in truth. He's a true God. I love him. And the word he gave us are so comforting, so reassuring. Because, I mean, look at what is going on globally now. All you just need is just to turn your radio or your TV. My goodness, heartbroken. This is happening there. This is happening there. I say, Lord, what is all this? But open the scriptures. Your heart will be so comforted because of the word. So his word is right, and all his ways are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. He loves justice. He's a just God. The heart is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Selah. God, we thank you. So he's a good God. Our Father. And what did he say in Isaiah 55? That's one of my favorites too. Isaiah 55. And in verse 10 and 11, he said, for as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that comforting to know that whatever it is you are going through, regardless of the situation, the word of God is standard sure. The word of God is right. It's a right word. It's a comforting word. That all we need is just to believe it and keep saying it. Believe it in your heart and keep declaring it. Do not doubt it. Do not waver. Just trust Him that faithful is He that has promised also will do it. He's a right God. His word is right. So He has not lied, because He's not a man that He should lie. He has not given us a false promise. You see, He has given us exceeding great, precious promises. Look at all those adjectives that He used in describing rich, precious, precious word, loving word, comforting word, powerful word to lift us up. That is this God. You are too good. Thank you, Lord, for giving us. You did not leave us by two immutable things. You did not leave us. He gave us His word. He gave us His spirit. Oh, my goodness. What else? He said He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So we are blessed because we have this God Almighty as our Father, and we have His word. And that's all we needed. Honestly, all that we needed is the word of God. Is the word of God and the spirit of God. Those are the two essential. And then we'll have an understanding of the time that we are living in to put our gaze on Him. That, yeah, we now know that we have no continuity here. Now we know that we are just pilgrims and strangers here on earth. That we have no continuity. We don't want to build tabernacles here. We know where we are going. So we have understanding of the times, like the children of Issachar. But the two essential that we have in terms of the word and the spirit, He has given unto us. It's not left for us to just redeem the time and understand the time we're living in, and not to allow our heart to be perturbed, because we know that we have no continuity anymore. No matter whatever is happening, we know it's but for short a period. They are just temporal, because the Bible says the things that we see are temporal, but the things that we do not see are eternal. This great God, we're going to see Him. We're going to see Him. God is held down with the sons of God. And He does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall see Him as He is. And because we're going to be like Him. And this is our hope. And we keep this hope alive. And Bible says, those that have this hope purify themselves even as they appear. So the Lord has not lied to us. He's not a man. He has given us His word. Let us hold there fast this word. And hold it to the and fasten it to the tablet of our hearts. Regardless, keep saying it, keep declaring it, keep believing it. Don't doubt it. Do not doubt it, because the word that has gone out of His mouth will not return unto Him void. It will accomplish every details, what everything He has said. And guess what? He said He honors His word more than His name put together. There are so many wonderful names, so exalted names. But above all those exalted names, those powerful names, those wonderful names, He now honors His word. He even watch over those words by Himself. As in, this is what I've said. I'm going to ensure that this thing does not fail. He watch over His word to perform it in our lives. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Spirit of Living God, for not leaving us comfortless. See? I am with you, but I'm going to come and be in you. So He came in us. So we're not alone. We're not alone. Let us be encouraged. Let us be encouraged. Let's keep declaring the word of God. Let us not keep silence. Let us not take it as a mere word. It is not a mere word. It's the word of eternal spirit Himself. He gave us His word. Because He gave Eve. We should not make the mistake that He made. He gave Adam His word. Adam, He expected Adam to cascade the information, the word to the wife. But guess what the wife did? She did not give herself unto store the word, as to know what exactly what did you say God said? He said we should not. Ah, okay. She did not give herself to study, and that's why Bible said, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. We must sit down. This is the word of our Father. Let's go and study to know it more for ourselves, to carry it in our heart. Not on the tablet of stone anymore, because the stony heart has been taken away, but in the heart of flesh, to receive it, to receive this engrafted word that is able to save our soul and hold it there. Like come rain, come sun, we are going to hold on to the word of God. We will not allow the enemy to steal from us. We will not allow him to steal this word away from us. Because he's just a deceiver. He has so many wiles and so many cunningness and so many, you know, devices, but we are not perturbed because we know that God has given us the word. So let us hold this word dear to our hearts. Let us cherish this word. Let's embrace this word. Let's continue to declare this word. Let's continue to use this word to change our situation, regardless of what we're going through. Of course, he said in this world we will see tribulation, but we shall be of good cheer because he overcame. The Lord overcame for us already. He paid the price on the cross. 3 days and three nights, he finished the work. Right? So he has given us everything. He said, children, just believe in what I've done for you. Believe that I've paid it all. Use my word to change. Do not keep silent. Keep declaring the word. You that hold the word, you that watch over, you know, keep no silence. Keep no silence. Continue in my word. That is what he's saying to us. Isaiah 55, 10 to 11, we've seen that one. 1 Samuel 15, 29. 1 Samuel 15, 29 was telling us that he's the strength of Israel. That is this God. And, you know, that's why you can't separate a man and his word. You can see now, we're talking about the word of God. We're talking about God now. One cannot separate a man's word from that man. So, because he's still in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. So we're talking about the word, and then we're going back again to his personality, that the person of the word is Jesus. So he can't separate a man from his word. The word of God is there, and he's still the word, and he's the Almighty God himself. My goodness, what a wonderful God you are. You are so, so good. Thank you for having you and being there continually for us. We're so grateful because you did not leave us as an orphan. You came to us and you gave us a word. 1 Samuel, and in chapter 15, 1 Samuel 15:29. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that should repent. So the strength of Israel is a person, and that is the person of the Almighty God himself. Is the strength of Israel. So regardless of what they're going through now, he will continue to strengthen them. Of course, they are still believing in Judaism, but the covering cast will soon be removed by his grace. We'll continue to pray for them because of the partial blindness that was put upon them because of us. So we can't keep silent. Right? So we will continue to pray for Israel, and God will continue to protect them. The sun shall not smite them by day, nor the moon by night, because the strength of Israel will not lie, nor repent, for he is not a man that he should lie. His word is true. His word is true. He will see them through, and there will be a national repentance at the right time when the time comes. Even in troublous time, he will save them. He has a plan for them already. So, John 1:10, this word, he was in the word, and the word was made by him, but the word knew him not. The word, he was in the word, and the word was made by him, and the word knew him not. He came to his own. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave him the power. He gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So the word of God has been given to us. The word of God is with us. The word of God made everything by his word. He guided us. Hebrews 7:22 says Jesus is the surety of the New Testament. Is the word of God. He brought a New Testament to us, about a new and living way, and he is the surety of it. Jesus Christ, the word of God personified. Jesus is the real, is real to us, is real now, as he was when he rose from the dead. He's giving us his word. As he gave them in that time, he spoke with Peter, James, and John, and even 500 people that saw him. That same word is here now. The same way he spoke with them, he's speaking to us now. The word as he spoke with the disciples, the same word is being spoken to us now. What's its word then? It's still what it is now. To give us assurance. Like this assurance in Psalm 23 verse 1. What did he say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is an assurance for us now. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. John 10:14 is reassuring us, because what he spoke with them then is speaking to us now. John 10 and in verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd, and now my sheep, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, I'm known of mine. So he's telling us the same thing, he's reassuring us at the same time that as it was then, it was with them when he spoke the word then, he's speaking it to us now. So the word is seen now, and he say, I am the good shepherd. And what? And know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. Isaiah 41 and in verse 10, the word of reassurance to let us know that he that was with them of old has not changed. And that same word that was spoken to them, a spoken word to those of old, that same word is being spoken to us now. He said, fear not, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will uphold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Verse 14, fear not, thou worm, put your name there, ye men of America, UK, Nigeria, I will help thee, says the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the only one of Israel. The Lord is good. As he spoke with them then, he's speaking to us. I will help thee. It's okay. So, the word of God is true. The word of God is powerful. The word of God is everything to us. The word of God is comforting. The word of God is everything that we need. And we have been sanctified with his word. The word of God has sanctified us, has cleansed us. The word of God is in our mouths, and we need to declare it. Before, as I'm rounding up, what should we do with the word? We must find the word, like we've read in Jeremiah 15:16. We must keep declaring the word of God. The Bible says we should search the scripture that is in it, in John 5:30. These are the things that testify of him. We must love the Lord. Love his word. His word, if you love me, keep my commandments. I must hold fast to the word of God. Regardless of what he said, do not let the enemy steal the word of God from you. You must meditate on the word of God and declare the word of God. Thank you so very much, Daddy. I so much appreciate it. And I'm just going to pray and round up and hand over to you, Mom. Eternal Father, we are so grateful. Eternal King, we are so appreciative. We come with a grateful heart to you for your faithfulness towards us. You have not left us whatsoever alone. We thank you, Lord. We appreciate you because you came in the form of the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us. You gave us your word, and your word is keeping us. Thank you, Father, for your comforting word. Thank you, Father, for your word that is sustaining us, that is preserving us. You have prayed for us in John 17. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, for keeping us from the evil ones, for hiding us, O God, in your pavilion. We appreciate you for your word that you have given unto us. It will not return unto you void, for it to accomplish everything you have made it to do. You are the ancient word of the truth. You're changing us, and what is happening free course in us unhindered. And we're going to see you as you are. Thank you for purifying us. Thank you so much, oh God, for cleansing, the cleansing power that is in the word. That is cleansing us, your preservative power in your word that is preserving us. Your provisional power that is in your word that is providing for us. Your healing power that is in your word that is healing the Ichikudo, the Father Balogun, and as many that are under the weather. We thank you so very much because you are God. We have sent your word to them. Your word is heal them and deliver them from all their fears. We appreciate you, God, because you are more than enough. Be thou exalted on. Thank you, Father, for us men that are looking for job. Your word is providing jobs. Your word is comforting. Your word is soothing. Your word is reassuring our heart that we should not fear. For you will help us. Blessed be your name. We believe your word. So we speak. Thank you for so much, God. Holy Spirit, over to you. And I give you all the glory and honor. Thank you, Father, for your grace, oh God, and all that you have done. I appreciate you, Daddy God. Take all the glory in Jesus' powerful name. And thank you for your daddy, your servant that you have used to give me the opportunity. I pray for him. I pray for his wife. I pray for his children. I pray for everyone that connected to him, the ministry, that your work will prosper in their hands, oh God. And Lord, God Almighty, consign their heart desires over the children. Lord, we agree with them in this platform that, Lord, your will be done. And your whole hearts will see your glory, that your glory will be revealed because we believe your word. The word, I send it to that family, the Pastor Yaro's family, that it is well with it. Say, I should say to the righteous, it is well with it. I say to you all that it is well with it. And for as many on the moderating platform and the listener, Lord, I commend them to you, my Father. That, Lord, you establish them in your word. That, Lord, you encourage them and comfort them, God. Wherever it is, so whatever it is that is challenging, I speak a word of comfort, word of deliverance, word of healing to them, that it is well with them. Thank you, gracious Lord, for our children. We will continue to present these children before you. Your word will have a free course in our children unhindered. We will save them to the uttermost because you are the Savior. Father, thank you, gracious Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen and amen. Thank you, sir. Over to you, sir.